Dear Lord Baby Jesus, or as our brothers to the south call you, Jesus, we thank you so much for this bountiful harvest of Domino's, KFC, and the always delicious Taco Bell. When you say grace, you can say it to grown-up Jesus, or teenage Jesus, or bearded Jesus, or whoever you want.
My job is to walk around the subject like a photographer. Perfect angle, perfect light, gotta develop the picture just right, cause so many poets just write, and I still do my homework, so I bop hard to the chalkboard. Like my man HB and Enigma said, don't wanna be no Al Bundy poet, sitting back on the couch, back slouched, tins in my pants, talking about how I used to be the man, used to run around the world when it slams, but now I ain't gotta write tight, cause everybody know who the fuck I am, and only old fans praise me, and young cats like Talam AC maybe, nah, fuck that, you must be crazy, if he was hot back in the days, he got lazy, his shit don't faze me, hell nah, that's why I don't just raise the bar, bring it to his jaw like a racehorse, and if he try to show off, I pull back on the reins like I'm trying to rip his face off. Trying to prove yourself till I'm AC in the house, this ain't the place for it. Been pimping the same three poems for 2 years, I tell you to your face, you's a fake poet. That poetry can't change it, just means that people have to wait to see you live to realize you ain't saying it. You might been writing for a while, but your style's still juvenile, so who is you playing with? You looking at Max Weber, Herb Ritz, the microphone is a camera, every poem is a cover shot, while these I'm just hoping to get discovered off writing covers of what I got. My mother did not struggle for 9 months for me to write poems that you get credit for, making me your credit or pay down your credit or I'll be forced to set it off like strafe. Muse abuse can cause you to lose a tooth. Just sit back, retire, watch me school the youth. My photo shoot to the truth, the proofs and the proof. Take a loop, have a gander at the manner of stamina, Mr. Ridiculous, cause no other poet's camera can picture this. My job is to make your features seem like an iPod sitting on a tripod, to your moms be like, why God, and your pops bounce through the middle of your set like, look, just tell them I said nice job. Even take pictures of your entire operation like the Vice Squad, to the point that they don't know whether to call me Kojak or Kodak. Portfolio so fat that they don't require mind frames as times change, till I'm aims, clicks, shoots, portraits, landscapes, groups. You need an epitaph of my autograph and your photograph. If they familiar with my work and they hear yours, they sure to laugh. You're supposed to have respect for a mic check whose description is this poet's gift must come straight from God, and if yours did not, then picture this. I mean, please. Who else in spoken word deserve more cheese? Freeze frame, seize game, lights change, stage bleeds till he ends. More versatile than your wide angle lens, your panorama pretends while mine spins ubiquitous. Sometimes I feel like I'll be taking pictures with a satellite while these other poets are standing around hoping that their camera phones might picture this.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
Get this. Newt Gingrich is praising his longtime political rival, Hillary Rodham Clinton. Mr. Speaker, this is an only in America, but welcome to the show, of course.
Oh. Great to be with you,
Mr. Speaker. Julian Assange, is he a hero to freedom, or is he a terrorist who should be prosecuted?
He is an active enemy combatant who is engaged in information warfare against the United States. What he is doing is going to have incalculable damage to this country. It is going to have a number of innocent people killed, a number of our allies killed. It's going to put Americans at risk, and he has dramatically crippled our ability to gather intelligence, because why would any foreigner share with the Americans when they know that their information might immediately show up in some kind of leaked cable? This is an act of war.
If this type of information fell into the hands of almost any journalist, a conservative Republican, a liberal Democrat, a patriot who loved America, some socialist who hated America, any journalist, who would sit on this? Anybody would reveal this, wouldn't they?
Well, first of all, you have to ask the question, how did the administration fail so totally that supposedly a private had access to download 250,000 documents?
Well, on that, I agree with you. The administration can't be telling the truth. There's no way this buck private alone could have had access to all of that.
Well, so that should be a scandal of the first order, and the Congress should be looking at who is responsible for security, how did they fail so totally, How did this catastrophe occur? Second, the private who is not protected by any kind of First Amendment should be tried, I think, for treason. This is not a game. The idea that, somebody other than the president is going to go around on their own and release secrets that could get people killed.
So far,
this should be okay.
So far we're on the same page, Mr. Speaker. But my view of the Constitution and the First Amendment.
Here's where you and I are gonna hang on, and
I would submit the Supreme Court's view of the First Amendment differs from yours, because the Supreme Court says Assange is protected as long as what he distributes is in the public interest. Clearly, this is in the public interest. We are fascinated with it. Some of it's good, some of it's bad.
Much of it is secret, some of it is meaningless. It's not in the public interest.
It's not in the public interest to know that we're killing people in Yemen. It's not in the public interest to know that Hillary Clinton dispatched agents to steal the credit card numbers of foreign diplomats.
No.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence.
Cyber attacks and blocked websites. They are the latest tools being used to prevent WikiLeaks from publishing more secret government files. As Michelle Chung reports, WikiLeaks and its founder appear to be feeling the heat.
The website that's caused a huge diplomatic storm is now facing its own turbulent times. Today, U.S.-based internet payment company PayPal moved to cut off WikiLeaks' money supply by blocking donations. And the website's U.S.-based provider cut ties because of repeated cyber attacks. This after being booted from Amazon's hosting services earlier this week. At least a dozen governments around the world have the capacity to take down WikiLeaks, but only temporarily, says this analyst.
It becomes virtually impossible to control because, you know, you could pull down the American server, but yet what happens is these sites then go to Sweden or they go to France or they go to India or they go someplace else.
That's just what WikiLeaks did after it was shut down by its U.S. provider. It moved to a Swiss network under a new address.
In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone. Beneath the halo of a street lamp, I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence.
We have a thing we say in the free software world, information wants to be free.
Matt Price teaches a course called Hacking History. He says if WikiLeaks doesn't survive these attacks, the genie cannot be put back in the bottle.
I imagine that if WikiLeaks disappears, that something else similar will emerge to replace it.
In our relief.
The website's founder, Julian Assange, has been in hiding since Sweden issued an international arrest warrant for him for alleged sex crimes. He resurfaced yesterday for an online chat. The Cablegate archive has been spread, along with significant material from the U.S. and other countries, to over 100,000 people in encrypted form. If something happens to us, the key parts will be released automatically. History will win. WikiLeaks has posted 850 secret cables so far. It says it has a quarter of a million more that have yet to be published.
And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking. People hearing without listening. People writing songs that voices never share, and no one dare disturb the sound of silence.
The content of a quarter million leaked State Department documents is still being analyzed. Its impact to be determined. Yet in our third story, the right's predictable hyperventilation over what they think should happen to WikiLeaks and its founder, all while questioning President Obama's leadership. The man behind WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, is currently wanted by Interpol, but for allegations that have nothing to do with WikiLeaks. That doesn't stop former House Speaker Newt Gingrich from advocating for Mr. Assange's imprisonment.
He is an enemy of the United States, actively endangering people, and he's going to get a lot of folks killed. And I think that's a despicable act, and we should treat him as an enemy combatant and as an absolute enemy of the United States.
The half-term Governor Sarah Palin echoing that sentiment on her Facebook page. He is an anti-American operative with blood on his hands. His past posting of classified documents revealed the identity of more than 100 Afghan sources to the Taliban. Why was he not pursued with the same urgency we pursue Al-Qaeda and Taliban leaders? Congressman Peter King calling WikiLeaks, quote, a clear and present danger to America.
We should go after them for violating the Espionage Act. And the reason I say foreign terrorist organization, because they are engaged in terrorist activity.
Mr. King is also asserting that the leaks don't bother President Obama because, quote, his entire political upbringing has been on the left.
Fools, said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words, like silent raindrops, fell and echoed in the wells of silence.
Meanwhile, National Review columnist Jonah Goldberg wondered back in October, quote, why hasn't Assange been garroted in his hotel room years ago? Mr. Goldberg now taking a more nuanced approach to Mr. Assange, instead accusing the left of selective rage. Is there any prominent person or editorial board outside the administration on the left who made a huge stink about Valerie Plame's outing who is remotely as horrified by the ongoing WikiLeaks travesty? Well, since he brought it up, how about those on the right? First, here's former Governor Mike Huckabee speaking not about Assange, but the person who provided WikiLeaks with the documents.
Whoever in our government leaked that information is guilty of treason. And I think anything less than execution is too kind a penalty.
Yeah, Mr. Huckabee had a slightly different reaction after President Bush commuted the prison sentence of the only man convicted in connection to leaking of CIA agent Valerie Plame's identity, Scooter Libby. Mr. Huckabee praised Mr. Bush for his compassion.
And the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the sign flashed its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls and tenements. And whispered in the sounds of silence.
Tom Flanagan.
Well, I think Assange should be assassinated, actually. I think Obama should put out a contract and maybe use a drone or something.
I have two words for you.
Predator drones.
You will never see it coming.
You think I'm joking?
You know, there's no good coming of this. I agree some of the stuff is quite titillating to read. I was particularly struck by the revelations.
Tom, that's pretty harsh stuff. Just for the record, that's pretty harsh stuff.
Well, I'm feeling very manly today. The revelations about the Arab diplomats asking the United States to bomb Iran... You know, this is really not stuff that should be out, even if, you know, in the vast sum of pages, most of it's probably harmless. But there are things in there that really could complicate international relations and even, you know, conceivably lead to war. So, you know, I wouldn't feel unhappy if Assange disappeared.
Well, I gotta say, Tom Flanagan calling for that's pretty strong stuff.
It is said when you see someone who looks like they don't feel very well, you say, my goodness, you look like death eating a cracker. Or if they look really bad, you say, you look like death eating a cracker walking backwards.
As here with none other than my main man, Mr. Patrick Buchanan. So you better listen up and recognize. So how long was you president for?
Zero. What? I didn't make it. I failed.
Ain't there the problem if you have an election every however many years, that if someone don't tell the whole truth, you've got him for like 4 years, isn't it?
If the people make a mistake, they have to live with it for 4 years, or they get their Congress to throw the president out.
But sometimes people lie to get in. Like when me went for my interview for McDonald's in Staines, me said that me would work well hard. But the moment me got in there, me was eating like 15 McChicken sandwiches a day and selling a bit of little bit of McGunja on the side. And them only actually chucked me out when them found me wearing the Ronald McDonald costume, boning me Julian the Box.
Here's what you do, though. When you're there, then your organization has rules whereby they can throw you out.
All right.
We have rules whereby you can throw out the president.
And in my playbook tonight, former Vice President Dick Cheney is about to be indicted for allegedly participating in an international bribery scheme. Nigerian officials say that they are issuing an arrest warrant for Cheney through Interpol, the world's biggest international police organization. Shooter's new legal troubles stem from Halliburton's alleged bribery of the corrupt Nigerian government of the 1990s when he was the CEO of the company. Halliburton is accused of paying the government $180 million in hopes of getting a $6 billion natural gas contract in return. Cheney's attorney responded to this afternoon with this following statement. This matter involves the activities of an international four-company joint venture, which included KBR, a subsidiary of Halliburton, well over a decade ago. The Department of Justice and Securities and Exchange Commission investigated that joint venture extensively and found no suggestion of any impropriety by Dick Cheney in his role of CEO of Halliburton. Any suggestion of misconduct on his part made now, years later, is entirely baseless. Gosh, the Department of Justice looked into it. Was that Alberto Gonzalez or was it John Ashcroft? There's a real investigation for you.
Turns out George W. Bush's decision points may be less important than his book tour's destination points. Following Bush's admission that he ordered the CIA to waterboard prisoners, the conservative mayor of London, England, has warned our last president that if his tour were to make any stops in Europe, quote, he might never see Texas again. Yesterday, Mr. Bush was in front of a decidedly home crowd at the Reagan Library in Simi Valley, California. Later on the Tonight Show, he was Jay Leno's guest, and he got into the act.
What's all this extra security about tonight?
We have President Bush on the program tonight, so everybody gets patted down.
Like, even you? I mean, this is your show.
Makes no sense at all.
Tell me about it. Listen, go easy, Grovemaster.
His best acting since that State of the Union. In his new book, Bush writes about his decision to waterboard alleged 9/11 plotter Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. According to the former president, he was asked to approve waterboarding by the CIA. His response was damn right.
They say he's got information. I said, find out what he knows. And so I said to our team, are the techniques legal? And a legal team says, yes, they are. And I said, use them.
Why is waterboarding legal, in your opinion?
Because the lawyer said it was legal. It said it did not fall within the Anti-Torture Act.
This week, the British newspaper The Telegraph, London Mayor Boris Johnson, a conservative, a Tory, issued the following warning. It is not yet clear whether George W. Bush is planning to cross the Atlantic to flog us his memoirs, but if I were his PR people, I would urge caution. The real trouble, from the Bush point of view, is that he might never see Texas again. One moment, he might be holding forth to a great perspiring tent at Hay on Wye. The next moment, click, some embarrassed member of the Welsh Constabulary could walk on stage, place some handcuffs on the former leader of the free world, and take him away to be charged.
Does you think that religion should be taught in schools?
If it's voluntary, yes. If it's mandatory, no.
Does you think there's a way for people to make the way them teach religion more interesting?
Yes. The movie The Passion of the Christ is a very effective teaching tool, I think.
I heard they ain't as good as Lethal Weapon 3.
No, I think it's slightly better than Lethal Weapon 3.
Ain't it basically a bit of a rip-off of Gladiator?
No, it's not at all.
But it's like that kind of thing, isn't it?
No, it's about the death and crucifixion of Christ.
Ain't you scared, though, that because it's made so much cash, it will just make a sequel and it won't be as good, like, you know, after Blob,
probably.
Come Back to Life, whatever. What else is the election going to be fought on this year?
It'll probably be about Iraq.
Does you think that Saddam's ever was able to make these weapons of mass destruction, or whatever, or as they is called, BLTs?
Was Saddam able to make them?
Could he make BLTs?
Yes. At one time, he was using BLTs on the Kurds in the north.
Was it worth fighting a war over BLTs?
I don't think Saddam Hussein and Iraq were a threat to the United States, even if they had WMDs or BLTs, as long as they weren't nuclear weapons.
If you had the evidence that Saddam had these BLTs in his house, would you have said yes, attack?
Not unless he had, if he had anthrax, if he had mustard gas.
Whatever you put in them.
No. If he had mustard gas, no.
Let's say he didn't have mustard and the BLTs just was plain. Would you have been able to go in there then?
No.
Is it ever worth fighting a war over sandwiches?
And the FBI is worried a new Barbie doll could be used to make pornography. The doll has a digital video camera in the middle of Barbie's chest. It can record up to 30 minutes of video, which can be streamed onto a computer. The FBI tells CNN, quote, "There have been no reported incidents of this doll being used as anything other than as intended. For clarification purposes, the alert's intent was to ensure law enforcement agencies were aware that the doll, like any other video-capable equipment, could contain evidence and to not disregard such an item during a search," unquote. CNN has reached out to toy maker Mattel, but has not gotten a response. However, Mattel gave the following statement to CNN affiliate KING, saying, quote, "Mattel products are designed with children and their best interests in mind. Many of Mattel's employees are parents themselves, and we understand the importance of child safety. It is our number one priority," end quote.
All right, I'll take you through this. You see that guy right there on the phone? See, he's talking on the phone while his friend is being arrested. And he's calling his dad, and his dad apparently is a police official, and he's trying to get advice from his dad on what to do. And it doesn't look like he's being aggressive, but watch. A cop is about to go up and punch his lights out. Here comes the cop, and now watch. Does it look like he... Boom, boom, and now to the ground he goes.
Bizarre case of shoplifting here. Two Oklahoma women are accused of hiding hundreds of dollars worth of goods in their belly fat.
These two individuals were actually concealing them in areas of their body where excess skin was, underneath their chest area and up under their armpits and things of that nature. They were concealing large items.
Police say the duo stole about $2,600 worth of goods from a department store. And these were not small items. Officers discovered four pairs of boots, three pairs of jeans, a wallet, and gloves hidden on 28-year-old Aileen Brown and 37-year-old Shemeka Thomas. Officers say one of the women hid three of the boots beneath, her chest area and her bra. The women now face felony charges.
Some have called this a very sad day in the city of Camden. Today, City Council passed a resolution calling for the layoffs of 25% of the city's workforce. including nearly half of the police department.
We need the presence of the police force to make us feel, hey, we are secure, we're fine. If that is not available for us, then the crime is going to go higher.
The peace that is starting to happen in North Camden and other parts of the city is going to be taken from us.
Speaker after speaker pleaded with city council not to approve the layoffs. There was obvious frustration, and some predicted the end of any hope for saving Camden once the cuts take effect in 45 days.
You guys don't know how bad you guys are hurting us, and then you can't even give us a straight answer. 45 days?
January 18th, 2011 will be the worst day in Camden since the 1971 riots.
Non-uniform workers already work 4 days a week with a 20% pay cut, but the loss of 180 police officers and 67 firefighters has residents especially fearful.
If people don't feel safe coming into the city to work, if they don't feel safe walking down their streets, they're not going to want to live here. They're not going to want to work here.
And by laying off officers, laying off firefighters, is an insult to each and every one of us.
It's going to take a rocket scientist to figure out that if you got less firefighters on the street, then you're going to have slower response times.
Before the vote, the city council president blamed Governor Chris Christie for not giving Camden enough money. The city has received $69 million from the state, but is still $26.5 million short.
Breaking news coming in. You know, the president just took off from Afghanistan, and they've sent us word now that he has granted his first pardons. 9 pardons granted today. No familiar names at all on the list, and no really outrageous charge. Four of those convicted of cocaine charges, some other drug charges, conspiracy charges. I think the most interesting one is from Beaver Falls, PA. Ronald Lee Foster, convicted of mutilating coins. For that, he got a year's probation and a $20 fine. And today, Ronald Lee Foster got a pardon.
Oh, it's so liberal.
Are you saying that Barack Obama is like Adolf Hitler?
So I want to start with Genesis 8, verse 21 and 22. Never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. I believe that's the infallible word of God, and that's the way it's going to be for his creation. The second verse comes from Matthew 24, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. The earth will end only when God declares it's time to be over. Man will not destroy this earth. This earth will not be destroyed by a flood. And I appreciate having panelists here who are men of faith, and we can get into the theological discourse of that position. But I do believe God's word is infallible, unchanging, perfect.
Generally speaking, Americans are a peaceful and happy people. What does it take to get them riled up enough to resist their government? Obamacare? Cap and trade? The Fed cheapening everything we own? How about government agents putting their hands in our pants?
Like, I'm listening to what you're saying, but I only hear what I want to.
There is written in the Constitution of the United States that Congress has the right to coin, issue, and regulate the value of money. That's good Americanism, and it's good enough for me. Every politician today in the Democratic or Republican ranks who sits upon one of the thrones of the mighty doesn't believe in that part of the Constitution. They don't want to believe in that part of the Constitution. They believe that the Federal Reserve Bank has the right to coin and regulate the value of money. They're not even Americans. these so-called Democrats and Republicans. And so, Mr. Roosevelt, who was very loquacious in 1933 about driving the money changers out of the temple, is now bent upon another policy. I think driving the workmen out of decent annual wages. As I come before you today, I wish to leave this thought with you, that in each congressional district here in Illinois, we will endorse a candidate who can rise above his party and puts patriotism first. He may be a Democrat or a Republican or whatnot, but we're through with the sham battle of politicians, and now we're on our own. Therefore, under your congressional district presidents, form your battalions, take up the shield of your defense, unsheathe the sword of your truth, and carry on in Illinois so that the communists, on the one hand, cannot scourge us, and that the modern capitalists, on the other, cannot plague us.
Democratic Party and the Republican Party were just like the old patent medicine drummer that used to come around our country. He had two bottles of medicine. He'd play a banjo and he'd sell two bottles of medicine. One of those bottles of medicine was called Hypopalora. And another one of those bottles of medicine was called Lopapahara. Finally, somebody around that said, is there any difference in these medicines? Oh, he said, considerable. They're both good, but they're different. He said that Hypopalorum is made from the bark off the tree that we take from the top down. And that Lopapahara's made from the bark that we take from the root up. And the only difference that I found between the Democratic leadership and the Republican leadership was that one of them was skinning from the ankle up and the other from the ear down when I got to Congress.
Who are you to wave your finger? You must have been out your hair.
What might be counted as one man's war with Big Brother. Dick Thompson says he just wants to be left alone, but a county government now plans to throw him off his land because they say he's breaking the law by living, frankly, too simply. 24-hour News 8's Brad Edwards is on the case in Alexandria in northern Madison County.
Just past a little place that calls itself small, there's a mailbox by an old beater, a story of a man with a frosty relationship with the county. Where is that man? There he is. There's Dick Thompson.
This is Sunshine.
This is Bird.
He likes peppermints. That's Fritzia.
His horse. His miniature horse. His...
Hey, Ace!
Oh, Pete! Got a little close to Ace there. This, his 36 acres, his dump truck, his wagon, and home sweet home.
They're telling me to get out of here. I think it's a bunch of bull. And everybody else does, too.
Do you have anywhere to go?
No.
The county attorney tells 24-Hour News 8 he's breaking multiple ordinances and health code violations. He's got no electricity, no sewer, no water, been to court a number of times, and now Mr. Thompson has got to go. He waited for the sheriff's department to arrive.
No water, no sewer, no electricity.
I'm a country boy.
He's got everything, everyone he needs.
I just won't be left alone.
Now, a county official tells us it's simply not safe and sanitary to live like that. As for when eviction might come, if they can get past the dog, it could be any time.
I really can't
but
stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go
but
away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you'd
so
drop in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just like
my
ice.
My mother will start to
beautiful,
worry.
What's your hurry?
And father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
Really I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't
well,
hurry.
Well, maybe just a half a drink
put
more.
Put some records on while I
the neighbors might think.
Maybe it's bad out there.
What's in this
no
drink?
Cabs to be had out there.
What if you could count the stars in the sky? Astronomers have now come up with what they say is a more accurate way to do that. And get this, they estimate an astounding number, 300 sextillion stars. That's a 3 followed by 23 zeros. Astronomers now have the technology to detect many more dim stars known as red dwarfs. The new estimate in the journal Nature suggests the universe is 3 times bigger than scientists thought.
I wish I knew
your
how
eyes are like starlight
to
now.
Break the spell.
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks swell.
I ought to say no, no, no,
mind
sir.
If I move in
at
closer.
Least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out. Baby,
but it's cold outside.
I came by and I couldn't believe it. There's a noose on it. It's disgusting. It's appalling.
This isn't your run-of-the-mill Frosty the Snowman.
It's pretty self-explanatory if you look at it. I mean, it's got the cone head and the black eyes. It had a noose on it this morning.
But the man and his friends who built it say there's nothing sinister about this sculpted snow.
It's a snowman. I mean, it's not, there's nothing hateful about it that I can see.
For about a week now, the snowman sat towering on Mark's front lawn in Hayden. By the time we arrived, the noose had been removed.
It's a disgrace to our neighborhood, and it's something that we definitely don't want here. And it puts a black mark on all of us. I mean, there's no one else around here that thinks the way he does.
Why do you think people are offended?
Oh, if I know. They want to cause trouble.
Our camera was rolling when Kootenai County Sheriff's deputies showed up. Neighbors called authorities to complain. The Sheriff's Department says it warned Mark that displaying a noose violated Idaho state law. That's when Mark and a friend decided to knock off the pointed hat.
I never saw a noose up there.
Really?
I don't see one now.
We have pictures. People took pictures
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, that's fine. I never saw it.
I simply must
but
go.
But baby, it's cold outside.
The answer
but
is no.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This welcome
how
has been
lucky that you dropped
so
in.
Nice and warm.
Look out the window at that storm.
My sister will be suspicious.
Gosh, your lips look delicious.
My brother will be there at the
waves
door.
Waves upon the tropical shore.
My maiden aunt's mind is
ooh,
vicious.
Ooh, your lips are delicious.
Well, maybe just a cigarette more.
Never such a blizzard before.
I've got to get
but
home.
But baby, you freeze out there.
Say, lend me a
it's
comb.
It's up to your knees out there.
You've really been
I
grand.
I thrill when you touch my
but
hand.
But don't you see?
How can you do this thing to
there's
me.
There's bound to be talk tomorrow.
Think of my lifelong
at
sorrow.
At least there will be plenty implied.
If you caught pneumonia and
I really
died,
can't
get
stay.
Over that old doubt. Ooh, baby,
but it's cold.
NASA has discovered a weird new life form, not on some distant star, but right here on planet Earth, in California. Where else, you might say? Mono Lake, close to Yosemite National Park. What's weird about it is that these bacteria thrive on something that usually kills. Well, for more on the significance of this finding, I'm now joined from New York by physicist Professor Michio Kaku. Now tell me, what is so weird and what is so new about this life form?
This is a spectacular result. It means that every single biology textbook on the planet Earth has to be revised. Even the very definition of what we consider life has to be changed. All life depends on DNA, we're told, But DNA can be rearranged to convert a yeast cell into an elephant into a human. But now we have found a new form of DNA.
Okay, and what I mentioned earlier in my introduction there, trying to build up a bit of suspense in all this, is that this thing thrives on something that usually kills, and that would be?
Arsenic. It means that extreme environments can create extreme forms of life that we've never seen before. And it means that when we explore outer space, we have to be much more open-minded about the kinds of life forms we may encounter. Because if we encounter this in California, you can imagine what we might find in outer space.
Now, I'm going to show you a very simple version of a very simple magnetic generator. Very, very simple. Okay. There's one transformer here, another small transformer here. This is the magnetic field here, a circuit board with an outlet. Here, two wires going to this panel. This panel picks up a small portion of the spectrum that's very important to the unit. I'll show you the magnetic field so you can see it. This is a 25 watt GE light bulb. There's no hidden batteries or anything. It's very, very simple. This unit does not put out very much power. It barely puts out a little bit more than 25 watts total.
Imagine a machine that could power your house for free. Well, that's exactly what two Australian inventors claim they've developed. Using magnets and a battery, their new generator has been described as revolutionary, and foreign investors are lining up for a piece of the action.
So, John, this is the machine?
Yes, this is it, Chris.
What's it capable of?
Well, it'll power a house. The machine will provide sufficient electricity to run a house and have power to burn.
It sounds too good to be true, but inventor John Christie is convinced his machine will change the world.
So John, basically you're saying this machine can produce five times as much power as it consumes.
Yes, it does. This one, exactly as we see it, it does. And in fact, it can produce more than that.
Once kickstarted from a battery, John and his partner Lou Britz say this prototype will run for years without stopping, generating 24 kilowatts of power a day.
Who's to say what's impossible? They forgot this world keeps spinning and each new day I can feel a change in everything, and as the surface breaks, reflections fade, but in some ways they remain the same. And as my mind begins to spread its wings, there's no stopping curiosity.
You don't get more revolutionary, I think. I mean, we're talking about something that has the capacity to change the way that the world produces its electric power. It has the capacity to change the way that motors, cars are propelled. It can replace the combustion engine, in fact.
John, these are big claims. Are you sure you can live up to them?
We don't really need to live up to them, Chris. The technology speaks for itself.
I mean, a householder could buy one of these machines and install it in his garage and power his house forever without buying another kilowatt from a retailer.
Sweet!
I mean, that's how serious it is.
Steve Brassington is an independent electrical engineer. He's seen the machine and backs up everything John says.
It's revolutionary. That's the only way to describe it. I think the technology, it's not bending physics, it's just using principles that I guess are commonly in use in power generation today in a different way. These guys have thought outside of the square.
I want to turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. And I'll share this love I find with everyone.
sing and dance to Mother Nature's song. And I don't want this feeling to go away.
Basically, it's magnetic attraction and magnetic repulsion that provide the movement or the moment of the motor.
Can you understand why some scientists are skeptical about it?
There is no physicist or engineer who has looked at our motor or has looked at our figures who says it doesn't work.
Lou is an electrician and John a businessman in Cairns in far north Queensland. The two unlikely inventors have been tinkering with their machine for 6 years. They've applied for an international patent and have been swamped by people wanting a piece of the action. Scientists here at the local university say while they're interested in John's machine, they're also cautious. They say if the machine can generate as much power as John says it can, then they will have to rewrite some of the laws of physics. And they've urged people to be cautious about investing in it until the generator has been independently tested.
Anybody who says it doesn't work hasn't seen it or hasn't looked at our figures. They haven't reviewed it. If they look at it, they'll all agree with us that it does work.
John says the household generator should be available in a year and sell for about $5,000.
I wanna turn the whole thing upside down, and I'll find the things they say just can't be found, and I'll share this love I find with everyone, and we'll sing and dance to Mother Nature's song, and this world keeps spinning and there's no time to wait. Well, it all keeps spinning, spinning, round and round and upside down. Who's to say what's impossible and can't be found? And I don't want this feeling to go away.
You'd think you'd know his name every time you switch on a light or turn on your radio. His contributions are as far-reaching as those of Albert Einstein, Isaac Newton, or even his nemesis, Tom Edison. This mysterious, tall, dark Serbian invented alternating current, wireless communication, the modern electric motor, basic laser and radar technology, X-rays, neon, robotics, remote control and cellular technology, and even Star Wars tactical warfare, all over 100 years ago. Yet today, who's ever heard of Nikola Tesla? How could history overlook such an incredible legacy? During his last moments on Earth, he no doubt asked himself the same question. Lying in a forgotten hotel room, alone and penniless, now 86 years of age, this is where our story begins. On that final night in January 1943, Nikola reflected on his life in near delirium.
The flashes of light. I never had control over the flashes. They are so tormenting.
Unstoppable images would flood his mind, accompanied by powerful flashes, like countless times before due to a strange lifelong condition of his.
When the word was spoken to me, the image of the object would appear vividly. And sometimes I was unable to distinguish whether what I saw was tangible or not. This caused me great discomfort and anxiety.
In the murky light of the hotel room, he'd speak with ghosts from his past. Phantoms waiting for him to succumb. He remembered triumphant moments when he was struck with the vision of his world-transforming electric motor, the same design that's used everywhere today.
Like a flash of lightning, in an instant, the truth was revealed.
He was so sure of his breakthrough that he felt compelled to share it. He sailed for New York City, the seat of the modern world. Soon he'd become the quintessential American success story, transforming himself from a penniless immigrant into a legend of his time. The glitterati of New York's finest would flock to his laboratory to witness the spectacular high-voltage demonstrations. Notables such as Mark Twain, John Muir, Sarah Bernhardt, Stanford White, and Teddy Roosevelt, and many others attended. But one person not present was his ruthless competitor, Thomas Edison. Nikola would recall the war of the currents, AC versus DC power. At the time, the electrification of the world was at stake.
Alternating current's too damn dangerous. He's using tens of thousands of volts. DC only uses hundreds. Sure, you can see the danger. Nikola Tesla. A man who could never take a joke.
There was only one kind of power system that could feed cities all over the country that would allow Edison's incandescent bulbs to burn brightly. And Nikola had it. Tom Edison fought against it, tooth and nail.
Hell, there are no rules here. We're trying to accomplish something.
The bitter Edison would even resort to electrocuting stray animals, including a rogue elephant, to incite public fear of Tesla's AC system. But Tesla would ultimately triumph over Edison by electrifying the Chicago World's Fair in 1893. It was a smashing success. Then, he and partner George Westinghouse created the world's first hydroelectric system at Niagara Falls. It was an incredible gamble at the time, and no one was sure it would work, except Tesla, the man of the hour. Nikola was now at the peak of his glory. He took to wearing formal clothes and wearing white gloves when starting experiments. He was a mystic who wrote and recited poetry and could speak six languages, yet he couldn't help his idiosyncrasies. People had no idea that he battled hallucinogenic episodes daily.
I have seen all the air around me filled with tongues of living flame. Their intensity, instead of diminishing, increased with time.
He was also described as a maniac for cleanliness and would avoid handshakes, and fought an array of deep-seated phobias and compulsions.
All repeated acts or operations I performed had to be divisible by three, and if I missed, I felt impelled to do it all over again, even if it took hours.
He learned to control his runaway mind with supreme discipline. Tesla's unquenchable fire drove him onward. Nikola would soon engage the biggest fish in the pond while undertaking his greatest venture, Wardenclyffe. This fantastic structure was the very culmination of Tesla's vision to create a worldwide communication system for sending sound and pictures. The primary goal was to beat Marconi for the honor of delivering the world's first transatlantic wireless signal. By no accident, Tesla's grand project was to be financed by the devil himself, J.P. Morgan.
You're a strange man indeed, Tesla. After the papers are signed, you may draw upon the house of Morgan, but it's important that I remain a silent partner. You do understand what that means, don't you, Mr. Tesla?
But Nikola had a secret. The system could also electrify the world. Wardenclyffe would provide limitless, free energy, everywhere, for everybody. When J.P. Morgan found out about this leap of technology, he wouldn't tolerate it. He knew Tesla could deliver, and the banker overlord couldn't put a meter on it.
A man always has two reasons for doing anything. A good reason, and the real reason.
Mid-construction, Morgan would cancel the contract and blackball Tesla, thus excluding him from any other investor.
Mr. Morgan, are you going to leave me in a hole? I've made 1,000 powerful enemies on your account. In 100 years from now, this country would give me much for the first honor of transmitting power without wires.
Wardenclyffe faltered, and Marconi sent his transatlantic signal.
Tesla would suffer his second nervous breakdown, and never again would he regain his momentum as before. But despite his cruel fate, Nikola stayed the course. Decade after decade would pass, and he would bring forth new fantastic inventions in transportation, air flight, and even warfare. His death beam, as he intended, would bring an end to all warfare. An inventor to the end, all he ever wanted was to uplift the condition of humanity. But now, in his hotel room, time was drawing short. He'd finger newspaper clippings and recall some of the smaller moments of his life. His table for one, walking the streets of New York, haunting Grand Central Station, or feeding his many pigeons. No one could begin to imagine what great secrets this mad scientist kept locked inside his head. No one, except J. Edgar Hoover and his G-Men. They waited patiently for the great man to pass, and were ready to take everything that Nikola left behind. This story is about a man whose powerful ideas live on, as much of his work is still classified and used in the most esoteric projects imaginable today. Nikola Tesla single-handedly changed the world for the benefit of mankind, yet has been rewarded with obscurity. It's time to bring his story out of the shadows and into the light. With his last breath, Nikola gently smiled.
Let the future tell the truth and evaluate each one according to his work and accomplishments. The present is theirs. The future, for which I have really worked, is mine.
Would they only have listened?
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
Hey, are your ideas for global takeover falling apart? Are you losing sleep over humanity's mass awakening? Is false flag terrorism fizzling out? Global warming gone cold on you? Do you want those global warming deniers to just go away? Are all your phony economic crises being exposed? Is the price of gold defying all your attempts to fix it? Isn't killing the Gulf of Mexico and poisoning millions of people reducing the population fast enough for you? War, famine, and GM food not getting it done either? No? Well, don't give up. Get disclosure. You'll be able to unite mankind with a phony problem and enslave them with one world government and taxes. Yes, disclosure. Your one-stop shop for full spectrum dominance. But wait, there's more. Sign up for disclosure today and you'll get problem, reaction, solution absolutely free. That's right. Absolutely free. Act now to be entered into our fabulous propaganda prize draw. Disclosure! Our surveys show that 9 out of 10 world leaders prefer it. Disclosure! Cleansing the minds of the unwashed masses with a tantalizing, terrifying, taxable new reality. I'm only going to say this 3 times. Disclosure! Disclosure! Aliens may or may not be real. Your home may be at risk from those possible aliens. No major credit cards accepted because there is only one currency under a one-world government. Prepare to die screaming, probably. Disclosure is compatible with Project Bluebeam. Do not employ critical thinking.